That's unbelievable. Talent around this place. It's amazing. You know, I got to tell you, you know, we're having child baby dedications. We got this. And this young woman over here, did you notice these beautiful flowers?
Yes.
106. Sadie, stand up. We want you to stand up. Can you stand up with me? This one right here is turning 106 this week.
It'll be on Friday, next Friday.
Next Friday. 106. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
We're so thankful you're part of our church family.
I love everybody.
I know you do.
I love you so much.
Well, we love you too. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for blessing Sadie. All these years, Lord, you've given her strength, energy. She has joy. She loves you. And she's such a testimony of your goodness and grace. Continue to bless her, Father, with strength and health in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, I tell you, I hope my allergies can do well with all these flowers up here. Man. Just stand here and get all this. There was a lot of, I was noticing some special people today. Some people have been ill, sick, haven't had much energy. I think I saw Bob Williams back there. Where's Bob at? Is he back? Where is he? There he is. Bob, good to see you, brother. We've missed you. You haven't been here for a while. Glad that you're here. I know there's some others I've been noticing, but glad you're here. Isn't it great to be here to worship? We are a family. We love each other. And just, we are a baby dedication, Bridger, 1 year old, and Sadie, 106. Just 105 years apart is all, you know. It's amazing. The last couple of weeks, I've been reveling in God's holy name. And last week, we talked about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or the God of the armies of heaven. So I've been on this kick, you know, you get on this kick, you know, when you start being blessed, and so in my devotions, my time with God, I've been reveling there in God's holy name. And so that Lord, that Jehovah Sabaoth, we looked at the story of David and Goliath, when David used that name for God when he faced the giant, the Lord of the armies of heaven. But this week, we're going to go to the New Testament. And we're looking at a man who faced a different kind of giant. A man who didn't need Jehovah Sabaoth, but a man who needed Jehovah Rapha, the God or the Lord who heals. Let's pray. Father, as we open up your word, we crave your presence, Lord. We want you to speak through your word. May our hearts be open, listening. Feed us, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, as you're going there, I'll just kind of set the stage. Jairus, he is a leader there in the synagogue, and he has a 12-year-old daughter that's very, very sick. And so in this encounter, this man, this important man, comes and falls before Jesus, pleading, begging for Jesus to come to his house, touch his daughter so she can be healed and she will live. Now, I don't know about you, but I can kind of relate a little bit with a 12-year-old daughter. It just so happens that Kyan is 12. And so as I was looking at this story, I thought about, I can't imagine actually losing my girl. I can't imagine her being so sick or ill that it's possibility of loss of life. I can't imagine that. I remember I've told you before when she was 3 or 4 years old, and we lived in Clover Valley up by Grass Valley. And how we thought we had lost her and we couldn't find her. Steph, was it a couple hours? I think it was about 2 hours that we couldn't find our daughter. It was absolutely the worst 2 hours of our life. The idea that we had lost our girl. Some of you might remember that story that I told. It was terrible. This man is bringing his daughter. She is ill. It looks like she's going to die. So he has this great, this desperate need in his heart. And so he comes and he falls before Jesus. I can only imagine what this man was going through. I don't think there's anything worse for a parent than losing a child. So this man comes with a desperate need for a miracle. Is there anybody here today that's in a desperate need for a miracle today? See, I love God's word because God's word speaks to the toughest of situations. Jesus, hearing this desperate father's plea, begins to go with him to the man's home. This father must have been excited. Jesus is hearing his request, and so his prayer might be answered. God is going to do something for him. And so hope is filling his heart. A miracle is on his way. And as they're walking towards his house for the miracle to happen, all of a sudden, his miracle gets rudely interrupted by some other circumstance. Jesus and Jairus en route to the house. As they are on their way, a woman cuts in front of him as they're going to Jairus' home. Now, does anybody like to be cut off on the freeway? Have anybody ever been there? See, that really bothers me when somebody cuts in front of me. Amen. And it's not just the freeway, any place in life. Well, here's a desperate father with a daughter that's possibly ready to die and gets cut in front of. Think about this for a moment. You're about to have your daughter healed. The impossible prayer is going to be heard and answered. But this woman who has a need, she has this blood flow for 12 years, every day for 12 years. She cuts in front, right there on the way. And she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and she is healed. And good for her. But the problem, just as the time she's being healed, the news comes from a servant or a family member from the house and says, things are getting worse, and actually, the daughter has died. We're going to pick it up here in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? The father thought a miracle was on its way. God's promises were about to be fulfilled for him and his daughter and his life. Have you ever been there? God's doing something miraculous. It looks like he's moving in your life. He's moving for you. And then boom, somehow in the cosmic prayer chain, somebody cuts in front of you and they get the blessing. Have you ever been there? So you're praying for God to do something miraculous in your life. And you see God moving and working for you, and it looks like the miracle is coming. And all of a sudden, somebody jumps in front of you, it seems like. And all of a sudden, God hears their prayer, and they are healed. Some miracle is done for them. They are being blessed, and you're left out. I just wonder how this man felt. He's got hope. Jesus and the man moving toward the house. Jairus had known about the miracles. He has hope in his heart. His daughter is going to be healed. And then his daughter goes from being sick. Now his daughter is dead. And now he doesn't need a healing. Now he needs a resurrection. Just imagine how he felt. He has hope. And then someone for the family says, hey, your daughter's dead. Don't even bother the teacher anymore. Why even bother him? Maybe some of you feel like Jairus this morning. You've been asking for that miracle. Hope is rising in your heart. But just about the time the miracle comes, the hope is taken away. Are you ever tempted to ask the question, God, don't you love me? Don't you care about my situation? Don't you see the pain that I'm going through? Don't you see that I need a miracle in my life, my heart, right now? Have you ever been tempted to say, why bother? Why even bother? I've prayed so many times. I've come to you so many times, God, and you're not listening. Why even bother? On one hand, you have God giving you hope for the impossible, and God can do everything for those who believe. Amen? Amen. That's what my Bible says. But on the other hand, you have an enemy, you have friends, you have these other people that are saying, why even bother? You tried to stop that habit in your life. You've tried over and over again, you know. You've brought that addiction, that problem in your life, that addiction, you brought it to God over and over again. And it just seems like no matter how many times you bring, nothing happens. What's going to be different this time around? Why even bother to try? Why even bother to ask God to help in your broken marriage that needs fixing? You've been to counseling, you've tried almost anything. Why even bother? Why bother praying about your kids that are out there? And if I said, how many of you have kids out there away from God, many hands would go up in this church. And some of you have been praying for your kids year after year, day after day, week after week. Things are getting harder. They're going more to the world. Some of them are on drugs today. And so you've been praying so long, why even bother? Why even bring it anymore? Have you ever heard that voice of doubt telling you, why bother? How many's heard that voice? You hear it all the time. You hear it every day, all the time. Why even bother serving God? Why even pray? He's not listening. He doesn't care about your situation. Why bother to lose weight when everybody else in your family is overweight? Why bother getting on another path for His glory? Why bother serving? Why bother giving your life as this living sacrifice? Loving people with this sacrificial love. Why even bother? People aren't going to notice anyway. Why bother about dreaming big for God? Why bother about dreaming about this big dream for God that you can do for His glory? It won't work anyway. It can't happen through you anyway. You ever hear these voices of doubt? I love how Jesus responds to the news that the girl is dead. And I'm going to go to the Revised Standard Version because I looked at all these versions. It says, but ignoring what they said. Anybody like that? Ignoring what this person, we don't know if it's a family member or a servant, he just ignores what is being said. Now, I don't know about you, I'm a preacher. And once in a while, we get complaints. Man, I just like to, you know, send on the email. Ignoring him, Jesus, the Son of God, I love this, just ignores the bad news. Has gone from bad to worse. He just ignores. Remember last week when we talked about David, remember when all the naysayers were coming, there was Eliab and there was Saul and all that was coming. David ignores. It uses the same word, ignores. The lies, the voices. Here is Jesus ignoring the voices. See, I've been learning, if you're going to walk in faith with Jesus, if you're going to do great things for God, You've got to ignore the negative voices. You got to stop listening. You got to stop listening to those negative voices that keep swirling around inside of you that say that it can't be done or you can't do it. Let me tell you, every time God asks me to do something for Him, every time He asks me to do something great for God, there's always voices. There's 1,000 reasons. People will give me 1,000 reasons why it can't be done. We need to learn. See, we need to learn. It's what is known as selective hearing. Now, do I have any men that have been learning selective hearing? See, my wife knows that I'm versed in this area. I'm very, very good at this. Selective hearing. It's one of the most effective allies in this fight of faith. You've got to turn out the doubts. You've got to turn them off. Stop listening. Notice my message is very similar to last week because I want us to get it. Stop listening. It's everywhere in the Bible. We got to stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the naysayers. Stop listening to the negative voices. Ignore them. And stand on the truth. Amen. Jesus heard the bad news, and I love this because He is totally unafraid as a situation goes from bad to worse. And I'm here to tell you the same Jesus that didn't even blink an eye when He hears the bad news that the girl has died is the same God that's still sitting on the throne today. And He's still capable today. And He's still sovereign today. And He's still in control. In whatever impossible situation that you find yourself in right now, even if it seems dead, even if there's no hope, I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, I'm here to tell you that God can resurrect that thing. God can bring the dead back to life again. He can. He wants to resurrect. He wants to bring life. Ah, don't you love these stories? Oops. But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Amen. I got to tell you something. I want to live by those five words. Do not fear, only believe. Say it with me. Do not fear, only believe. Think about it. If we just live by these five words, can you imagine? If we could just live every moment of every day, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Only believe. See, on the one hand, you got Jairus and these servants of the enemy saying, don't bother. But on the other hand, there's Jesus saying, just believe. Over here, don't worry about it. Don't bother him. Over here, Jesus says, just believe. You know, the smartest thing Jairus did that day was just keep silent, keep his mouth shut, and follow Jesus. He kept following to the house. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Keep following Jesus. We got to keep the promise of God front and center in our lives and follow Jesus and keep following even if you don't understand. Even if you hear bad news along the way, and you will in this life. So imagine as they're going along, this miracle is interrupted. He hears the bad news. Jesus doesn't, he just ignores. He keeps walking the house, and Jairus decides just to fall in line and keeps following. Man, I want to learn to follow Jesus. I want to learn to stop living in fear all the time and just believe in His word, in His promises, and stake my life on those promises. It says He did not let anyone follow Him, so He, As he goes, he gets to the home. He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Not only does Jesus ignore the voices, the negatives, he's also selective who he chooses to go with him into the home for the miracle. Which, this is so important. We need to be more selective in the people we allow into our lives. I'm telling you, the enemy will bombard you constantly with negative. You can't do it. It won't happen. And you get around people enough that are negative, and they're all speaking about what's wrong and it can't be done. It would take you down. You've got to be selective. You've got to get around people that have faith, that live and walk in faith. I love, and I'm not going to name names, there's some people in this church that are people of faith, and I love to be around them because they talk faith. They can look through the difficulty and see the miracle. They can see the power. They can realize there is a Jehovah. There is a Jehovah God, Rapha, that will heal. And there is a Jehovah Sabaoth that will commission the armies of heaven for you. And there is a Jehovah Nissi that will be victorious. He is our banner, and he can win every battle, every time. And there's a Jehovah Rohi, which is the God that wants to be our shepherd and lead us and guide us. Is your God big enough that you will ask the impossible of your God? Or have you made your God so small because you don't stand on his word and you don't live in his promises that you see no power and you see no change, you see no miracle, you see no resurrection? And some of you, I want to miss that woman. I'm just going to take her with me. If Jairus had listened to his family or the servant who gave the news, there'd been no miracle. There'd been no change, no power, no resurrection, no celebration that day. Can you imagine the celebration in Jairus' home? See, they were talking about that miracle. I bet you on his deathbed, Jairus was living in that miracle of God's power for his daughter, a resurrected daughter. You say, yeah, that's Bible times. You know, God does miracles like that. You know, that's what he does. That's what he did back then. But you know, it's today. This is the 21st century. God doesn't act like that anymore. For could it be that our faith is so weak, so impotent, that we don't see power anymore because we doubt and we listen to the wrong voices? And the enemy's got us so cocooned that we don't realize there is more power, and it's available for me and it's available for you. Amen. I mean, we talk about the prayer. We talk about God baptize us in the Spirit. And I know my brother Nolan was praying about that. I mean, we talk about you should receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Have you really prayed that with your whole heart? Have you really prayed for the baptism of the Spirit, that actually self would die and you would completely be filled with Christ and Christ will live his life completely through you? So we always say, God, give me a little bit of that Spirit. I need a little more Spirit. When God is ready to resurrect your dead spiritual life into something amazing, I hunger for so much more. What about you? We listen too much to the people around us. We listen to the advice of the people around us. And most of the time, they don't know what they're talking about. Put people around you that walk in faith. People that can see through what's wrong and know there's a mighty God that can solve that problem and do a miracle for you. So Jesus is selective who he brings into the home. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion. with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Does anybody enjoy this part? They'd hire people. If we are just all right now started wailing, can you imagine? I mean, that's what was happening. They hired wailers, and there's just terrible, there's grieving going on. I could see the mom over there in tears, and she's just grieving the loss of her daughter. And dad, I'm sure as he walks in, just instantly as he sees his dead daughter, I'm sure there's tears just flowing, and there's grieving, there's wailing, and all that. And then Jesus says, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." Man, I'd like to have been there. Jesus is so cool. Jesus doesn't see the situation like we see it. Jesus doesn't see a dead girl. He sees an opportunity for a resurrection. There's a faithful old Methodist minister, served the Lord his whole life, walked with his God and him and his faithful wife. Whenever you'd ask him towards the end of his life how he's doing, he'd always say 100%. But the truth of the matter is, the circumstance in his life was not 100%. Because his wife had Alzheimer's. And not only was she losing her mind, her frame of reference, but for 12 years this went on, and she would shout obscenities at him. She would go to the bathroom all over herself. He would clean her up. She would try to find a knife because she believed somebody's out to kill her. Things went from bad to worse. But this old faithful minister of God would sit by her bed every day and comb her hair and tell her how beautiful she was. See, most people would have said, "Why bother? Why even bother? She doesn't even know who you are." He was praying for a miracle. He was praying for, that sun stand miracle. Joshua, that sun stand still kind of miracle. "Lord, heal my wife." But instead, as the prayers go on day after day, and the sun begins to sink and it's getting lower and lower, and it doesn't seem like God is hearing his prayer. But when they'd ask him how he's doing, 100%, as his wife is dying of this terrible disease. One day his grandson comes in, and he's upset. He can see the situation. He sees the pain, the suffering. He sees what his grandfather is going through. And it just breaks his heart, and he gets angry with God and says, "God, why are you allowing this to happen? He's not 100%. And it made him mad, and he got frustrated. But then he heard that still, small, little voice that said, "It depends on how you're measuring it. If you're measuring according to life circumstances, no, he is not 100%. But if you're measuring this old man's by his faith, it's a grand finale." Because this man was loving his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for. And his faith stayed 100%. Your circumstances don't have to be 100% for your faith to be 100%. Your 12-year-old daughter can be dead at the house, but if you would just keep moving forward in faith and hear Jesus saying to you, "Don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't count yourself out. Just believe." The devil says, "Why bother?" Jesus says, "Just believe." You just got laid off your job. How are you going to pay the bills? And you come home and you're just tempted to say, "Why even bother? Why even go out there and try to get another job? I mean, the unemployment rate is the worst it's ever been in San Joaquin County. God's not going to take care of that need. Why even try? Why not just stay home, get unemployment? Why not just sit there and, you know, and watch The Price is Right or Jeopardy and eat Doritos or something? No, believe. Believe God has a purpose and a plan. Believe He has a job for you. And if you'll come, you might tighten up the resume. Ask God to help you do that. Get out there. Shake the bushes. Believe God will direct you, and God will. Because my God says, you seek Him first, He will take care of all your needs. And you talk about an impossible, amazing situation to walk into a room where a girl is dead and then to see the insensitivity of Jesus. She's not dead, but only sleeping. I love it. But they laughed at Him. Who are they laughing at? Jesus. They laughed at Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the resurrection and the life. They are laughing at Him. Remember Abraham and Sarah laughed at God when God said, you're going to conceive in your old age, you're going to conceive a son, and He's going to be the Son of promise. They laughed at Him. By the way, it's not a good strategy to laugh at God. And then what does He do? But they laughed at Him. The whole crowd's laughing at Jesus. The whole crowd. All the wailers, everybody's laughing at Jesus. After He put them out, now notice what's happening. Before the miracle, He puts all the doubts, all the negatives, He puts them out. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You got to start learning to put these things out. The doubt that fills your minds every day, the fears that fills your minds, you got to put them out by the power of God living in you. See, when Jesus comes in, faith, trust, power, it all comes. You got to cast those things out. So they laughed at Him. After He put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha koma, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Because we serve a Savior that is calm, cool, and collected. When everybody is wailing, moaning, negativity, darkness, terrible, it's awful. Jesus comes in, calm, cool, collected, and raises this girl from the dead. And then has the presence of mind to say, give her something to eat. Man. Is anything too hard for God? No. Next Sabbath, I hope you'll be here. Because next Sabbath, there's going to be a baptism. There's going to be a testimony of a life that God has changed radically. And she's been coming to this church. And you're going to hear how God does resurrect dead spiritual people today. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you sitting in the pew, some of you need to be resurrected by the power of God's Spirit. Some of you need to have Jesus take you by the hand. Take you by the hand and raise you up again. And when you're raised up, everybody takes notice. And I could mention some names of some people that have been born again lately that are being resurrected by the power of God right here in this church. And it's exciting when God gets a hold of a life. God's in the business of resurrection. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And He is the resurrection of life. See, God is not worried about your situation. He is not freaked out about what keeps you up at night. Why are you mourning about a situation that God has the ability to resurrect? Even if your situation doesn't get any better, God can use that very thing that the enemy is trying to tear you apart. God can turn around and use it for a testimony of his glory. Why bother? No. No. Just believe. Believe in his promises. Believe in who he is. There's something else about faith. You don't have to understand everything to believe. You don't have to totally understand what God is doing in your life to completely obey. Jairus didn't understand, but he obeyed and followed Jesus anyway. Don't stop believing. Keep holding on to your faith. Don't hang on to feelings. They're up and down, back and forth. They can change 1,000 times a second, it seems like. Hang on. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith, Peter, when you're out there in the water and there's a storm that is breaking apart your boat and Jesus says, come. Hold on to your faith, Peter, when you're out there in the water and you see the wind and the waves and all and you lose sight of Jesus and you start to sink. Hold on, because Jesus was close enough to reach down and pick him up again. I always noticed Peter was close enough to Jesus, it didn't matter if he began to sink. We always say, look at that man, he lost sight of Jesus, lost his focus, he was distracted, he began to sink, but guess what, he was close enough to Jesus, Jesus picks him back up again. And think about it. I would rather be close to Jesus out on the raging sea, in the open sea, close to Jesus, than back in the boat with a bunch of faithless, fearful men that cannot see who is walking on the ocean or that lake with them. Stay close enough to Jesus. That's it. Stay close enough to Jesus. You're going to step out. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes. But just get close to Jesus because he'll pick you back up again. I'd rather be close to Jesus. I'd rather be walking on the sea close to Jesus. I mean, if he stayed in the boat, probably would have died. Walking out there close to Jesus, he can live. Hold on to your faith. Just believe. The scripture is filled with men and women who could have said, why bother? Abraham, 100 years old, and God telling him and his wife, they're going to conceive a son. Abraham could have said, why bother? Joseph could have said, why bother? In prison, enslaved for 13 years, but he had a promise that was given to him as a boy. As a boy. Someday you're going to save a nation. And he hung on to the promise. And he believed. And then there was Moses. Moses could have said, why bother? He was a man who stuttered and stammered, and he was an insecure man. And even after God unleashed 9 plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, still he wouldn't let the people go. But Moses remembered the promise that God would lead his people out of slavery and lead them to the promised land. And then there's Joshua. You know, Joshua is one of the most powerful books in the entire Word of God. Joshua was a man of faith. I mean, even Moses didn't have the courage to pray a prayer. Sun, stand still so I can defeat the enemy and have the total victory. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? You say, sun, stand still. Moon, stop. And boom, for a whole day. Yes, our faith is weak. Why bother? Because he made that prayer, that unbelievable faith, a prayer that was impossible. God did the impossible. And I look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. He could have said, why bother when they're beating on him and they're stoning him within an inch of his life? But see, Paul had a charge in his life. He had a call in his life, a commission from God. And I... And listen, this is his commission, Acts 20, verse 24. It's becoming a favorite verse. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's become my new verse. Wow. Aren't you glad Paul didn't give up? We wouldn't have most of the New Testament. Jesus could have said, why bother? When he's hanging on a cross being murdered from the very people he came to save. When they beat him and whipped him and slapped him and laughed at him. But Jesus stretched out his arm and died because on the third day he rose from the tomb. And that resurrection proved once and for all, it doesn't matter how dead your situation is, God can resurrect it. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Can you hear Jesus speaking to your situation? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Can you hear from the mouth of Jesus if you're there, if he was here right now? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. I was walking through the halls this morning. This is how I work. Sorry. I work this way, but I was walking through and I started singing a song. I don't know where it came from. I heard it a long time ago. And God told me, this is the song I want you to play. I looked at the lyrics. I said, it's perfect. So I hope you'll listen. Maybe close your eyes. Just take in this song. Listen. Let God minister to your heart. If you got a weak faith, just give it to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of walking with the God of heaven and earth, the joy of walking with Jesus. Oh God, thank you for stories like this that just kind of blow our minds. God, may we experience your power, not power from any earthly power of man, but from you. May we experience resurrection, spiritual resurrection, physical healing, whatever we need. May we not be afraid and live in fear, but may we just believe. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.